Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Put a spring in your step and fresh looks in your home, in-store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Well, let's go straight to Malahide in North Dublin. Regarded, according to our two listeners who contacted us from Canada, in fact, every time they told locals what happened to them, they said, on the one hand, this never happens in Malahide. But then on the other hand, he said every second person they met in Malahide said, well, that happened to me too. Kelly is in Ontario in Canada. Kelly, good afternoon. Kelly Maguire. Tell us what happened, Kelly.
Yes, good afternoon. Yes, hello. I'm a Canadian and I'm married to an Irishman and from Connemara, and we live in Canada. And we come quite often to see my husband's family. And we arrived in Dublin on Thursday, March 21st, and picked up a rental car.
Okay.
And because we've experienced jet lag before, and before we drive to Galway, we booked a hotel and to stay at the Grand Hotel of Malahide.
A lovely
we
hotel,
stayed at
yeah.
Fort Marnock at yeah. the hotel there, as well as the Grand Hotel. We love the coastline there. It's beautiful to walk along the ocean. And so we arrived March 21st, and on March 22nd, we were... It was late afternoon, between 4:30 and 5 o'clock. We went for a walk along the beach near Port Marnock, just parked the car in the street. And then we were driving back to Malahide to our hotel, at the Grand Hotel. And there was a beautiful rainbow that showed up from the ocean. And it just always, you know, well, I love that.
What time of the day was that, Kelly?
So that was probably between 4:30 and 5 o'clock. So it was still quite bright out.
And there's a rainbow in Malahide every afternoon between 4:30 and 5. It's a well-known phenomenon.
So
you're driving back.
What happened was, yeah, we were driving back between Port Marnock to Malahide to our hotel, and I saw this beautiful rainbow, and I said to my husband, oh, that must be a sign. Can we stop? I'd love to take a photo.
Okay.
And so there's a car park just at the edge of Malahide, right near the Grand Hotel. And we stopped there, and there was a washroom about a five-minute walk away. My husband says, I just need to go down to use the washroom. And I said, okay, I'm just going to take a photo. I'm usually absolutely hypervigilant, carry my purse on me at all times. And in this moment, whatever happened to the lapse of judgment, I left it on the floor of the passenger seat, but I locked the car, thinking I would just step outside the car to take the photo. And for some reason, I just kept walking a little closer to see the ocean and just, you know, I can look at my photos. I was three minutes from the car in total. So when I returned to walk back to the car, I was looking down and I thought, wow, why did my husband park in so much glass?
Okay.
And then I saw the passenger window of the rental car was completely broken. I left my body for a second and thought, this can't be happening. And of course, I knew my purse had been there and it was gone. And so my husband wasn't back yet. He was just a couple more minutes away. And so then I started shouting because I thought if anyone's around, if they've seen anything, I want somebody. I started yelling, I've been robbed, help me. And then I called 999.
Yeah.
And was talking to the guardian. People came over. My husband came back. And then we had the witness. He told us he was a witness. He drove in back to where we were and said,
yeah.
I just was at the guardian station in Malahide. I made a report. He said, I saw what happened.
Yeah.
And so he did make the report. And then we also then went to the guardian station in Malahide let them know.
What did he see happening in the public car park in
Malahide? What he said he saw was three... Yeah, he saw three men, or males, anyway, I don't know anything about the description, but he saw three males drive up in a car beside our car, break open the passenger window, scoot right to the back of of the boot, I guess you call it, like put the back seat down, it was just a little Skoda car, and went to the boot of the car. And I said, well, my purse was gone, it's in the front, and he just saw them dive right to the back, he said, when they got in. And then another person who I was talking to said all he saw was that this car was going out of the parking lot or the car park back, like, against the arrow. So he thought that was odd, but he hadn't taken any notice. So that's
there's a delay, and I have to be conscious of that. But Kelly, is there any CCTV? Did any of the witnesses get a registration number or a description?
No, and I don't think the poor older, my husband and I talked about this later. It was an older man who had gone right to the Gardaí station, then came back to talk to us. And he just kept apologizing. He hadn't gotten more. And we were consoling him because he was in shock. And we said, that's okay. That's okay. Thank you for reporting this. You know, thank you for getting involved. As far as I know, I don't know if there were cameras on that park. When I was on the phone with Gardaí at 999, they were asking me where this was, and I was looking around. I said, I don't know, it's a car park, it's Malahide. There was no name for me to sort of give to them.
This was right. Stay with us, Kelly. Pádraig, your husband, Pádraig Donoghue. Pádraig, good afternoon. I'm conscious of the delay. Can you tell us what was stolen from the car, please?
Yeah, so my wife's purse. And then, so she had our passports, so two Canadian and one Irish passport.
Oh, for God's sake.
And her wallet. And she sometimes keeps some of my credit cards as well. Mm-hmm. And they were stolen. And then my backpack in the boot luckily, there was not much in the backpack, just some cables, a book, and an old iPhone that I usually use for, listening to stuff. Yeah, there was nothing much in that bag except the inconvenience of having to replace the passports, car keys for my car at home. I have to get a car. Yeah, I know. I have to get the key cut, towed out of the parking lot in Toronto, brought and the key needs to be programmed at a dealership. So that's another cost. And then obviously changing the tickets and all that. But yeah, they were looking for cash and there was no cash because we didn't get a chance to go to the bank yet.
So this happened all within, 24 hours of you arriving on your holiday in Ireland. Your passports are gone. Your home car keys are gone. Credit cards are gone. What did you do? Did you stay or did you go home? I know you're back in Canada now. What did you do, Pádraig?
Well, I just want to clarify that we are still in Ireland.
Oh, you're still? I'm looking at Toronto. Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at Toronto addresses on the screen here. Yeah,
that's all okay. Right. Yeah, we're still in Galway because my family's from Galway. So, yeah. So what we did was, we drove back to the hotel, to the Grand Hotel.
Great.
The staff there were very good. Obviously, we had to cancel all the credit cards, and I left the car down in the parking lot. They noticed the car coming in, but I didn't get out to tell them about what happened until later. And then I told them what happened, and they were shocked actually because they were telling me Malahide and is an affluent area, and this doesn't happen. So what we did was we canceled the car. I brought the rental car back to Dublin Airport the next day. They were very good. And then we got another vehicle, and my elderly father, he lives in Connemara. So what we did was we drove following day. Luckily, I had a few cards out myself to be able to access money at a bank machine. So I was able to get money out after what happened. But we traveled to Galway and then picked up my dad. And then we went down to Kerry, actually. We spent the week down in Kerry at a beautiful Airbnb. And the woman there was wonderful. And that was like almost like a sanctuary because we're still in shock from what happened, to be honest with you.
Okay. I can understand
because
that.
Yeah, 24 hours. You know, last year, because I live in Canada, I have traveled a lot in the U.S. I was in Detroit this year in a sketchy area. You think in Detroit you'd be robbed, but no, it didn't happen. I traveled through six states down to Nashville last year, stopped at rest areas. I was not worried about my luggage in the car. Like, this is another thing. People who travel on Aer Lingus flights from Toronto early in the morning sometimes do stay in Port Marnock and Malahide,
of course,
might stop, and maybe pull in with luggage. The trip so far has been, Irish people have been very, very friendly. They're also telling me stories themselves, too, what's happening, the lawlessness, I call it, that's going on at the moment.
Well, tell us about that. On the one hand, you told me, Padraig, I'll go back to Kelly in a sec. You told me, Padraig, a few minutes ago, which that a lot of the locals in Malahide were saying, "Oh, this never happens here." But it's there would be something to do with Malahide per se. But it does happen.
No.
It does happen.
It does happen. Yeah, it does happen.
It did happen.
It did happen. Sorry. Yes, Kelly. Kelly, come in.
So, and that's what I was a little stunned. Even the Gardaí that we spoke with said, this is kind of unusual. And I'm kind of in shock at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, it's unusual, but it happened. And so I thought, it's one thing I wasn't in a restaurant and had my purse, or my handbag that you call it here, taken from under me or, taken away from me. They had to have something to smash the window in.
It was
pre-planned. They were looking for victims. They were looking for targets. And that's the part that just, it caused such shock to me in my system because, again, as Padraig has said, we have traveled around North America. Like, United States, a lot of people talk about that, but I've never felt safer. I mean, and also seeing the looks on people's faces, like at the hotel or the car rental place the next day, or even some people that Padraig knows that live in Dublin, they're just like in shock. And the faces are just shocked. And that told me a lot because I thought it. And so then when they say it doesn't usually happen, I, had to say to some people, that may be the past, but I want you to hear this did happen. And now it's happening. If it's happened once, and this is the other point I wanted to make was that this car park, which it looks like it had a gate, so it's probably has, set hours that they open it and they close it.
Point,
it was like not even a 1 or 2 minute drive to the Malahide Gardaí station. So these thieves, whatever you want to, I don't know who they are, they were brazen. It was daylight.
They were.
And it was right near a Gardaí station.
And they struck within seconds. You got out. You saw the rainbow. There was.
Yes.
You weren't exactly looking for the end of the rainbow. You were gone for a couple of minutes. And these guys obviously prepped, obviously cruising with the gear to smash the windows. Saw the immediate opportunity. Did not think twice. Drove in broad daylight. Smashed your car. Grabbed it and ran. So this is not an opportunistic. It is an opportunistic crime, but it is a pre-planned crime. That's your point,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
I believe that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, have the Gardaí come back since, or anyone come back since to say, there's any developments or no?
No, I've actually heard initially from the. I don't know the name of the organization. I would call it Victim Services in Canada, but I've spoken to someone who did receive, I think I had a call from her on the Monday after it happened, and she had received the police report. So she reached out on the phone and then said she had mailed me a letter in Canada, and I'm like, well, I'm not there. Can you email me so I can read it? And so I've spoken to her, and she can look to see, and there's been no development. Padraig left one message, and I've left a message for the Gardaí that we spoke to that day and made the report to, and we haven't heard back. And then there's an organization called ITIS, I think it is, and they're based out of the main Gardaí station in Dublin,
I think, downtown, city center.
I did a week later, last Friday, so a week from when it happened, I did reach out to them to ask them what their services were because the Gardaí had given me their card, but I don't know if they were open that weekend. Plus, we were just so busy canceling all our credit cards. And I reached out to them to find out what their services were, and that was last Friday. And they said that they explained that they're there to help people if they need liaisoning with the, your consulate to get your passports and that sort of thing. And so we explained what we had done. And he said, well, it sounds like you've done what you needed to. But he also let us know, and he could look to see if my purse and all my paperwork and belongings, if our passports had been returned, and he hadn't seen anything. But he said, because of where they are, I guess in Dublin, he was describing it was Like, it seems like a Friday thing, too, because so many tourists had stopped in there. They had so many things stolen from them.
Kelly...
Yeah, and some people had worse stories than ours.
Oh, my God. And, Kelly, how long more are you? Is your vacation in Ireland?
Well, we made the decision. I mean, we had to wait. We've ordered our temporary passport. Okay. We had to wait and call them the first thing that Monday morning. And so they are going to be ready, but we rebooked and we're going to be flying back home to Canada next Thursday.
Okay, stay with us, Kelly and Padraig, and I'll come back to other aspects of the story. 0818-715-815. Does it happen? It does. Is it frequent in Malahide? Margaret Thomas. Margaret, good afternoon. The centre of Dublin, the centre of our capital city, the main street, the street where we commemorate our the formation of our state, basically. We did it last Sunday week, even though Easter Monday is the real day. But anyway, Margaret Thomas, what happened in O'Connor Street in Dublin, I presume you're talking about?
I am indeed, Joe. Yeah. Listen, thank you for the opportunity. I took a chance and booted across the road because I saw a bus coming.
Okay.
And it was at the Lewis stop point of the road, just outside Easton's.
Okay, not well.
And I took a run that I shouldn't have, and I tried to get up on the path with Easton's, and of course I didn't quite make it, and I fell. And I fell onto the path. But I couldn't get up, and there was people standing around, and nobody came to my assistance, except when I called out two young boys, schoolboys. They were about 11, maybe 13. There was two youngsters, and one of them picked up my sunglasses, and the other gave me his hands and tried to help me up. He was too small to be able to give me a good lift. But he did try so hard, and I just wanted to be known that schoolboys, they don't get a good press.
Yeah, okay. But I'll come back to them in a sec. Hang on, you fell on what is outside Easton, O'Connor Street, Dublin, probably the busiest stretch of any street in any city in any county in Ireland. You fell. you obviously had a heavy fall, as they say. You had a heavy fall. You were on the ground, obviously on the ground. You didn't bounce back up like Sonia O'Sullivan or whatever.
No.
You were on the ground, and you say no one except these two lads in their school uniforms. No one came to your aid.
Well, while they were helping me, this very tall, big man came over and says, "I'm bigger, I may be able to help."
Okay.
In fairness, and he pulled me to my feet. For which I'm eternally grateful. I did thank them, but I just wanted to be known that, you know, I think people are nervous of helping people.
Hmm.
I don't know, but they were so kind.
Okay.
And like the full part of the story was they wanted me to stay on the street, but there's nowhere to sit, and I kind of needed to sit.
And you see,
so the bus was at the...
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more, Margaret. There's nowhere to sit. The island, that incredible island that now runs the spine of O'Connell Street, is completely empty. There's not one single resting place on it. There's not one single coffee shop. It's ideal. It's ideal. They want to rejuvenate, which we have to rejuvenate. There's not one single seat. And you know what they'll say? There's seats down at the Daniel O'Connell. We can't put seats there because of antisocial behaviour.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. But, like, you know, like, there are a few coffee shops along, but, like, the traffic is so heavy.
Yeah, it is heavy, yeah. How are you now? You're back up anyway. You didn't recognise the school uniforms, so you can thank them now.
No, I didn't. It was navy blue.
Okay. They all are, I
think. Navy blue, and they were heading north side.
Okay, Margaret, I'm glad you're back on your feet and mind yourself out there. Grania, where's Grania? 51551 text. Grania, what happened?
Hi, Joe. Grania here in Whitehall. Yeah, no, it is. My sister in 2015 in Portmarnock went for a walk with my cousin for an ice cream, and they put their bags in the back of the car before they went for a walk on Portmarnock Beach. And unfortunately, my late sister, she's my late sister now, she was going through cancer treatment at the time.
Oh, God.
And she had all her bits in her bag. Her daughters and her husband lived in Portugal, and they still do. And she was going that evening. They literally stopped in Port Marnock for a quick walk before they went to the airport. And they put everything in the back, the boot of the car. Went for had a 99. No, they that.
Yeah, yeah.
From the little place there at Port Marnock, and basically went for a little walk, came back, and the fly window was smashed, and her handbag and my cousin Emer O'Hara's bag were gone, and Roisin's bag had everything she needed, basically her cancer treatment drugs, her passport,
oh my God,
her driver's license, her mobile phone, money. Everything was in the bag, and oh my God, I remember the phone call. She rang me, I was home here now as well, and she rang me, and she was bawling like she just couldn't believe that this was after happening, and she was going home to see her kids, like she was in the middle of treatment, and it was just like another blow to her. Like she says, what am I going to do? So she had to cancel everything for a good few weeks, because she had to apply for her passport, She had to apply for her driver's license again. All the cards, like obviously cancelled her cards, all that kind of thing. That it's such a pain to, like, I mean, you have to do when these things happen. But like at the time, like the persons or person obviously was watching them and saw what happened. And my poor sister Roisin, she was just so upset. We were all so upset that day. We were all out literally trawling the roads trying to find the bag just so that she could get up to Portugal to see her girls and her husband. It was just horrific.
It's happening everywhere, but I think thanks
Gráinne, and 2015, so it's still happening.
Your late sister's name was Roisin.
Roisin O'Hagan.
God rest her.
She was a lovely woman.
God rest her. Thanks indeed, Gráinne. Now
thank you,
Oliver O'Brien, I'll come back then, take a break and go back to Pádraig and Kelly and whatever else is coming in. Oliver, back to Malahide, and by the way, for people who know, Malahide and Port Marnock are basically on the same stretch in North Dublin. Go ahead, Oliver.
Yeah. This was a couple of years ago, Joe, but I'm living in Cork, but we were up in Dublin anyway, so we're hanging around, we were waiting for something, and we were in Baldoyle, so we said we'd go take a spin out to Malahide. So we went for a coffee, and then we went to park the car down by the beach, and usually you'd be fairly diligent about not leaving purses in the car, but sure, anyway, we did. So I went for a stroll, and we came back then, 20 minutes, half an hour later, and they were after popping the passenger side window in the front. They popped it with a screwdriver, So they popped that glass everywhere, so the bag was gone. And just as we were there, and a couple from the north of Ireland, their car was just beside ours, or a couple of spaces down, and their car was done. So there was two cars done. And, so that was that. Went to the police station and went straight down to the police station. And by the time we got to the police station, we reported what happened. And my wife's bag was in the police station. So they took the cash and just left everything else. And
how did how did the bag get to the police station?
Somebody picked it up. The cash. Somebody picked it up.
Dumped the bag.
Dumped the bag. They just wanted the cash, and that was it. And the couple from the north of Ireland, their bag was there as well. So we went back and we told them that the bag was there.
You mean the empty bag?
Well, I we didn't hang around.
I presume
they just took the cash out of there. Out of there.
And did the Gardaí say anything? This is rare. This never happens here. Or?
Well, that was it. There was nothing about that. But they just gave the guards the details and. Got a letter then a week or two later saying that they were looking,
Which are pulse number, Yeah.
But it's, I just say, when I heard the conversation, I just said it's obviously a regular occurrence. I mean, what happened to me was a couple of years ago, So. And it's a quiet spot,
It is, but people know it's a resting, so it's a beautiful resting spot. Oliver, go to Mina Monga, joe@rt.ie, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Within 24 hours of arriving in Ireland just after St. Patrick's Day, Kelly and Pádraig. Kelly is originally from Canada, Pádraig is originally from Ireland. Parked their car for a few minutes under a rainbow in a public car park in Malahide, and within 3 minutes, three couriers had arrived, and it was basically a hit and run. They smashed the car window, grabbed purses, grabbed passports, grabbed a mobile phone and car keys, and disappeared. Pádraig, you were making the point about crime in Ireland. Like, there has been petty crime for a long time, but I think it is on the increase.
Well, from talking to Irish people, yeah, they're telling me all kinds of stories, just all kinds of different crimes happening. Especially, like I said, this gentleman I talked to this morning, he said to me, "Don't go up to Dublin at all." Like, wow. He was up there for business, so he's telling me, "Stay away from Dublin." And obviously, you know, Dublin now being the, you know, as having the airport, more people are flying into Dublin now than they are to Shannon. Yeah, so if people who are from, let's say, from the west coast of Ireland used to fly to Shannon, but now they're flying to Dublin and then driving across to the other coastline. So, yeah, there is, more crime? Yes, definitely. Crime is the increase in Canada as well. We're having the same problem. So this is an issue. This is a kind of almost a worldwide issue at the moment. Like, there's cars being stolen out of driveways over. It's a huge problem.
It happens here as well. Pádraig, you're from Ireland. You're from the West.
Yes, I am. I'm from the Gaeltacht. Originally.
And did you meet Kelly in Canada or Kelly in Ireland, or Verza Voice, as the fella said?
Was in Dublin.
Oh, very good.
It was in Dublin, of all places.
Very well. So Dublin has, hopefully Dublin has a special place in your heart, Pádraig.
Well, I work with lots of people from Dublin because I teach the Irish language. Lovely people from Dublin. Good friends. So, yeah, that's kind of hurt at the moment because of what happened so within 24 hours. Dublin. And I last year I drove around with a very famous author by the name of Rick Riordan.
Okay.
I spent the day, he's a New York bestseller, selling author. He's written the Percy Jackson series, and he's got he just finished the first season of his Disney series based on the books. And Kelly and I spent some time with him and his wife in Cork and in Kerry, driving around to historical places. So a lot of people are very interested.
Was Rick Riordan mm-hmm. learning Irish, or he wanted?
Yes, yeah, he has been learning Irish from me for a little while, and very interested in the folklore mm-hmm. and the mythology because of Ireland. And his Irish is his family came from Cork, obviously, and that's very appealing to lots of people. Why people come to Ireland? They come here for mm-hmm. the history, the mythology, the language. When they find out the Irish language, they start learning the language. Especially Americans and Canadians and Australians. I have people as far as Japan and China. Very interested, and obviously Irish people who live overseas who are very proud of their identity. They want to learn the language and fall in love with it. And that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is our rich culture. We have an extremely rich culture. We're a very friendly nation.
Yeah, here, here.
People don't want to hear this kind of lawlessness going on at the moment. And if this happened when I was traveling around with Rick last year with his wife, and I left the car and had anything in the car, but it happened, this year. Okay.
I know you're still here, but I hope it doesn't put you off coming back.
I was hurt. Yeah, I was definitely very hurt. I was hurt. Yeah, I was hurt. To be honest with you, I'm still have an affinity for this place, and I will. My father's still here, and my family, and so that's very important to me too. And the woman there, you know, you had just she was talking what happened about people not coming to her aid. That's not the Ireland I know. I wasn't brought up that way. My first reaction when stuff was stolen from my car was the gentleman who witnessed the crime. I went to console him.
Yeah, he was really upset, worried.
He was upset.
Okay, enjoy the rest of your holiday, please, as best you can, Kelly and Pádraig. Your passports are coming through, I hope. I know you've had to delay your trip. Did your insurance cover the damage to the rented car, Kelly? Do you know?
Well, Pádraig can answer that because he used
his
credit card.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's driving.
He'll be fine.
I'm not driving.
Not the valuables, but that's all replaceable. It's just the inconvenience of, you know, buying our passports and replacing things.
Well, Pádraig, before you go, listen to our next caller, and you won't believe what she had stolen out of her car. Teresa in above in Port Marnock, where was the big item stolen from, Teresa, from your car?
The big item was stolen on the car park in the Gulf Road.
In Port Marnock, is that Port Marnock?
Port Marnock, Port Marnock, down the Gulf Road.
And break it to us gently, what was stolen from your car?
The car battery.
They got the bonnet open, or the hood, as we say in the state. You got the hood open and they whipped the car battery.
That's it. I got back to from my walk on the beach, got into the car, put the key in the ignition, turned it over and nothing.
Dead,
and when I got out, I noticed that the bonnet hadn't been put down properly and I pulled it up and no battery.
Good God.
That's terrible.
Now, we heard so many stories on this programme about catalytic converters being stolen from cars, from the engine of a car. But I've never heard of a car battery being stolen.
No.
Yep. My bag was stolen in Malahide Castle from my car.
Just to go back to the car battery, I'm not being funny, Teresa. Was anyone charged?
No, there was nobody charged. Not that I know of, anyway.
And then you had your handbag stolen.
I did in Malahide Castle in the late 80s. And in fact, it was then handed in to me by some children who found it in a ditch over in Donnymeath area.
Okay, empty, I presume.
The money gone, everything gone, other than just, there was correspondence
in
the bag. And
anyone ever apprehended, as far as you know, for either crime, no?
No.
Okay. Thanks, Teresa. Kelly, enjoy the rest of your stay. Pádraig. Kelly, do you remember meeting Pádraig in Dublin?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, thank God. Thank God for that.
I actually came to Ireland for the first time 30 years ago and hitchhiked on my own as a single woman.
Wow.
And I met Pádraig up in Dublin. And then we married 2 years later. So,
But how soon after landing in Dublin did you meet Pádraig, if you follow me, when you were hitchhiking solo?
Well, I met him again within 24 hours because I went to the hostel and he was staying at the same hostel. So I met him the next day after I arrived. Yeah.
It's not funny. Yeah. You've had a good 24 hours and you've had a bad 24 hours on your arrival in Dublin. Okay. Yeah.
That's a wonderful way of looking at it.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It tested us.
I'm Pádraig and Kelly. Jump to answer my question as quickly as possible. Given that you married, what was it? Was it electricity at first sight, Pádraig?
Definitely, yeah.
Oh, magic!
Yeah, for sure.
Magic.
Yeah, it was magic, and that's what I love about this country. There's a lot of magic here, and it's I'm very sad and hurt that we're hearing more about this than the magic that is in this country, this wonderful historical country. There's a lot of people looking at this country that get inspired. Your imagination can come alive very quickly here if you allow it. So that's my last word with you about how it was electricity and there's magic here.
Brilliant.
And
Kelly, Kelly, I presume it was electricity for you as well, Kelly. I just want to be fair to either side.
Well, I guess so. I mean, I was kind of shocked that it happened so quickly, and I had to listen to my intuition and say, well, I guess that's why I came to Ireland. We've been together 30 years now, so I guess something's working.
Sure is,
And because I'm the one who left my purse in the car, it was the only time I've turned to him and say, if you want to divorce me, I completely understand, because I really screwed this up. But we've worked through things.
We won't divorce over something like that.
I know you won't. Anyway, good health to you both, and for the rest of your journey.
Thank you.
Safe travels, Kelly. And Pádraig Donoghue and Kelly McGuire. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Steph O'Toole, good afternoon, Stephanie.
Joe, it's lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much for having me on the programme.
Now, I first heard about this change on Christmas Eve in Grafton Street when one of the listeners who was in the crowd said it to me, and we tried to verify it with Brown Thomas after Christmas, and they were... I don't know, they were reluctant to... and then you've called in. What has changed in their terms and conditions that you've noticed when you buy something in BT's?
Well, when I first started doing my online shopping with them, it was at the time that you were telling us all to wash our hands during COVID. And at that time, if I was returning anything, I could return it for free using the on-post facility. And I had 28 days in which to make the return.
Okay.
So... I was purchasing some items.
A month, four weeks.
And I was buying something for my niece's wedding, and I wanted to look really good. So I had gone online and bought 5 dresses and cardies just to give myself some choice.
Okay.
So with the notion of returning the things
yes,
I wanted.
Yes, which a lot of people, you're not alone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, so when I received the items, the online receipt stated that if I was returning anything, I had to pay on post €4.95,
okay,
which was one change, and I've no problem with that. And when I went to make the return, I got an awful shock when a week later they came back to me saying that I was outside of their time frame of 21 days to make the return. Now, if I had purchased those things in the shop, I would have had a receipt which would have had the date at the bottom to say, is the date in which to make the return. Yeah. There was nothing on the online receipt that I have from them. It's an A4 piece of paper, so there's lots of room in which they could have put that information. And when I went back to them, they said that they had changed their terms and conditions and that it was now 21 days. So there's no notification on my online receipt of one change, but there is notification of another change. So I don't get their logic in doing something like that.
And when, you see, as I said, I was told that it didn't spoil me turkey on Christmas Day, and I don't think it spoiled anyone's turkey on Christmas Day, but I heard about it in December. When did it come in, Steph?
I think they told me January, but I have no proof of that. I actually don't know.
Okay. And apparently it came in September.
Well, September...
The postal change, the postal charge. Yeah.
That changed in September.
Okay.
But the 21 as opposed to the 28 days,
okay, now,
I don't know.
BT's will say, apparently it came in on the 1st of January, and it was on a receipt that someone got on the 24th of December. That's how they spotted it. God, our listeners never stopped working, dude. The 24th of December was a Sunday, and they were coming up to me in Grafton Street saying, I have a consumer item for you when you come back on the second day, or whatever day we come back at the beginning of January. Okay, so BT, well, 28 days, 21 days, when you get an outfit, you know within 24 hours whether you like it or not. What's the big deal?
Yeah, I unfortunately was sick, so I wasn't actually on top form to be able to make the return. And in fact, I missed my niece's wedding. When I did take action, it was within the 28 days timeframe. Yeah. And unfortunately, I fell foul of their terms and conditions change.
So now you have
four dresses that I don't want and one lovely dress. that I didn't get to wear for the wedding.
By the way, what happened? You're teasing me all the time, telling me, Steph, you didn't get to the wedding. What happened?
I have a chest infection and was coughing and spluttering and certainly not going to pass on that bug to anybody at the wedding.
And the world we live in, and the times we live in. So absolutely. now you have those dresses. And by the way, if you want to, what was the total cost of your purchase?
It was 1,100 and something, but then the dress that I am keeping brings it down under, it's 900 and something that I'm left with.
Okay.
So it's saucy.
It's what's the phrase you use, Stephanie? It's what?
Saucy.
Saucy,
It is a saucy price. I mean, it is a treat. It was something.
Oh, I thought you were referring to the dress, Steph.
That too.
No, it's cheeky what Brown Thomas are doing now. And they're a great...
It is.
They're a great store. They really are. And Arnott's are part of the same chain. And Long, when you go back to Switzer's and go back to the whole tradition of those... It's a great... And Cash's and BT are outside Dublin as well. They have a great reputation. Why did they reduce it from 28 to 21?
I don't know. And they've told me that they're very strict on it. But why didn't they even just say on the return, the receipt that I have, that you've got 3 weeks now as opposed to 4 weeks?
Yeah, just say it. Like, I know, and I know from speaking to people who work around, and we did it a few weeks on the programme, and I know featured on the 1 o'clock news last week, a week after we did it, because we were talking to retailers, and then the organisation representing them said, but that shoplifting was at epidemic proportions in Irish shops, and small shops especially are going to shut down, because there's nothing you can do. You put your hand out if you're a security, you try and share CCTV among other security staff or either other retail staff, and you're told you can't now under GDPR. So I don't know whether it's BTs are saying there has to be, it's nothing to do, by the way, with shoplifting, but we have to cut our margins. The new, apparently, from 28 to 21 is on the terms and conditions on the website, but not on your receipt. Well, surely your receipt is a document, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. Okay. And as I say, if I bought it in the shop, it would say that clearly, and it doesn't on my online receipt.
Okay. Well, we'll try and find out and see what they're... Like, they might say it's working a treat, and they might come back, we've had no complaints, but it still is. It's called goodwill. Now, I don't know about consumer rights, but where did the 28 days come from, and can you change it to 21? And if you can change it to 21, why not change it to 7 while you're at it? Okay, okay, Stephanie.
Just let me know about the change is really what I want to know.
I hope you can I hope you can chase that chest infection away. Hopefully it is gone. And
I'm on the mend.
You're on the mend, great. Okay, Steph, thanks for raising that. Let's see what BTs say. Thanks indeed, Steph.
Joe, really appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Really appreciate your contact. Thank you, Stephanie. Michael Foley is in Waterford. Michael.
Joe, how are you doing?
What happened?
I was going for my annual taxi inspection to Kilkenny.
Yeah.
And the inspector was checking out the van or the safety equipment, and he says to me, spare wheel. I said, under the van, sure. That's where it always is. I never used it.
Yeah.
Well, the spare wheel wasn't there. The spare wheel was gone.
There it was, the gone.
The cables were cut and the wheel was gone.
Wow. And what type of van are we looking at?
It was a Ford Transit Custom 9-seater taxi vehicle.
And how much is that to replace? A new spare and fix the housing?
Well, I got a new wheel. Cost me, I think it was 400 between getting the wheel and getting the tyre, and then I had to rebook the inspection.
Oh, for
needless
God's
to
sake.
Say, I didn't put it back underneath the van. It was in the boot. That's till I got rid of the van, and that's where I left it.
So, and there's a lot of vans, and indeed a lot of SUVs that have. Well, a lot of them now don't have a spare wheel, but a lot of them that have a spare wheel have it in that housing underneath the car. Now they'd argue that you have to lower it from inside the vehicle, but you're saying they just came along and clipped.
cut the cables and took the wheel and the new tyre. I'm sure someone got a nice cheap new wheel with a new tyre on it.
Yeah, but it's what, as you say, it probably ended up costing you over 500 quid.
Oh, it cost me over 500 quid, yeah.
And can you claim the spare wheel on your insurance?
Well, I'd say with having to pay the excess, yeah, it wouldn't be worth me worrying, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't it great? Wasn't that great news on the radio this morning, Michael? That the insurance claims of car insurance claims have gone down, but car insurance premiums have gone up.
You know, listen, I'm getting older every year, Joe, and I'm expecting the insurance to go down, but it never goes down.
And the biggest laugh I got recently was an announcement. Now, it was a government announcement, but it came through the Green Party in terms of the future of transport. And they said they would increase the insurance on SUVs, which I'm sure they will do, because that's the group think at the moment, is to hate anyone with an SUV, or hate the SUV, not the driver. But anyway, and then they said, we will reduce insurance on other cars. Two chances, Michael. Okay,
yeah.
And you read it. Okay, good evening, Michael. Good, Michael, and safe travelling.
Slán Joe
at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. I'm currently in my little life going through a John B. Keane phase. I'm reading his plays because I can't find any of them on anywhere at the minute. I know Amdram do. I was reading Big Maggie last night. Absolutely stunningly brilliant. A masterpiece, as a lot of JB's pieces are. And he wrote The Matchmaker. I think The Matchmaker's name, I mentioned it earlier, I can't remember. I think it's Dickie Dick McDickie O'Connor. And we have Gus Martin on the line. Gus, good afternoon.
Joe, good afternoon yourself.
Good man. And you rang us, you didn't ring us about Matchmaker, you rang us about, what was the...
Your sheep that had five lambs.
Yeah, okay.
And it's... One in a million sheep has five lambs.
Okay.
So
yes,
and all doing well so far, and she's feeding them plus being cared by herself as well.
Okay, and the unusual arrival was what? Three ewes, two ram lambs on Monday.
On Monday morning, like 10 days ago, at 6 o'clock in the morning, this ewe started to go lamb.
Okay.
Anymore the day before. And the first lamb was presented by herself, okay, no problem. The second lamb came back with a breach.
Yeah.
So I had to give her a helping hand, as the lad says, and then put the hand in again for the third one, and
good
the same
man.
Again for the fourth, and the same for the fifth.
Oh, my God. And have you ever done that before, Gus?
Yeah, I'm a farmer.
I know, but have you ever gone in five times?
Well, no, I'm saying three. I often had threes and yeah. I had four there a few years ago, but five is, as I said, one in a million.
Five from one ewe?
One ewe, yes.
And did you meet the ram when he was around?
Well, of course, I owned the ram.
Oh, you owned the ram, how? Okay, and has he sired five before in one go?
No, but he has several triplets this year and several doubles, which is very unusual. But I'll tell you a bit of a story about him.
Yeah, do. Yeah, please. Yeah, please.
I don't, usually when I go to buy an animal, I go to the mart and see him there, but I hadn't got time to go, so I rang up the mart manager, come owner, and I says, any nice rams there? And he says, he gave me a few different numbers. Mm-hmm. So I bought him online.
Okay.
And I called him Tinder after that.
You called him Tinder?
Tinder, yes.
Okay.
Because that's the new, I'm a matchmaker as well. And
good luck.
Maybe Tinder might be taken over from the matchmaking a bit, so that's why I called him Tinder.
Okay, and he's called Tinder, and what age is Tinder?
Tinder's only a three-year-old.
Oh, he's at the Tinder age of three. And
yes,
now that he's so good at his job, so to speak, do you get?
Yes.
I don't know how you do it with sheep. It's not like racehorses. What do you do? Would other farmers come looking for a land of tinder for the afternoon?
Not really, okay. Because most farmers have the ram out at the same time. But he'll be around here for a lot of years to come. Yet.
Okay. And do you know how many lambs he's fathered? this season.
But he has over, I'm only a small farmer, but he has over 60 in 1 year.
Oh my God.
And that wouldn't be a lot for a ram now.
Oh, would it not?
A good, fertile young ram. It wouldn't be what you call overdoing, you know.
And what what would a good, fertile young ram of a season, so to speak, what would the record be, insofar as we know?
Well, they would, we call tip, or they'd mate, anting up to, 70 yos.
70.
So you can say maybe a lamb and a half per yo. That's 100 lambs. You know, that's a simple calculation.
Okay. And Gus, just excuse my ignorance, because my knowledge of farming comes from that BBC series, The Wartime Farm. I don't know whether you've seen it. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
That was my knowledge of farming. And remember, during the Second World War in England, they got rid of pigs and they got rid of beef cattle because the investment return in terms of the land was much better when they put the land to tillage. But that's neither here nor there. But have you just got one ram on your farm?
That's all, because I'm only a small farmer.
I know you keep telling me that. Don't worry, the taxman is not listening.
Well, we'd have cows in it and a few ponies and things as well, you know what I mean?
But is it normal just to have one ram on one farm?
Yes, yeah. Well, look, during the mating season, if you had two rams together, they can often fight and kill each other.
Be like tomangos back in the old days. I know, the disco or copper.
Yeah.
So you're a matchmaker.
Yeah, well, look, for years, the last 20 years, I'm a small matchmaker as well. And nowadays, believe it or not, every boy and girl is, you don't need a degree to be a matchmaker.
Okay.
Of course.
You go on Tinder,
You know, friends, you know, a lot of young boys and girls introduce their friend to their friend, you know.
Yeah, of course,
and it's not that hard to become a matchmaker. But, we have a good few matches made and we have a few weddings and whatnot down through the years. We don't charge.
Okay, good man.
It's a freebie, but if they get engaged or... there's a family out and we will be invited and we might stay the night in the hotel or whatever else, but otherwise it's free.
Okay. And have you still got people on your books, Gus?
Oh, yes. Look, at always pretty, but not as busy as before the lockdown, in fairness. It was a booming trade then, and that's why tender might have taken over a little bit. But this way, we meet the girl beforehand, we meet the fella beforehand, we do our background. Stuff on them, you know what I mean? They're always 100%. And then we meet them together the first night.
Okay.
At a GAA game, at a rugby game, you know what I mean? Sports out in our, you know, where there's plenty of people around.
Yeah.
So they're not really, a lot of these people are a little bit shy now. They're not all from farming background, they're all walks of life. You know?
Yeah, of course.
And they just might need that little bit. Excuse the expression, push, or you know, a little bit of a helping hand.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need, personality is very important.
But did you tell me you go on the first date? You sit in.
Well, and the first meeting, you know what I mean? We meet, the girl didn't meet this stranger. We do meet him in a hotel, or GA game, I'm just saying, a public venue.
Okay.
And we sit down there, we have a chat with them, and then we go for a cup of tea or a half hour, we come back or an hour and say, see, is the girl or the lady, is she happy? If not, that's fine. Now, they don't all work out, naturally.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But we get a good draw, the lad says.
And do you ever measure your success rates, Gus?
Well... see, a lot of these people are cohabitating, you know what I mean? I'm saying,
no, I know what you mean, yeah.
And, but with a handful of good successes last year, and we had two weddings.
So, oh, well done, okay.
We're going grand, but a lot of these people want to do it nice and quietly.
Yeah, and in the world we live in, as you know, Gus... people don't get married, so you can't say, you can't measure your success on the number of weddings.
No, because we have a lot of people. I'm saying, believe it or not, from 75 down to 35.
Okay. And after, and when someone approaches you.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody approaches you. Well, what do you do? Do you go into your little index cards, or do you meet them? And
well, first of all, we ring them up.
Yeah.
And have a conversation like me and you are having, sensitive conversation.
Yeah.
And we try and match like with like, our hobbies and our interests and this and that. And then if we have a man that suits her, we will contact him as well and arrange a meeting, and we go and meet the two of them. Now, but there would be a check done on, especially the lads or the men.
Yeah. And who do the check?
I can't say it in public, but there's no trouble doing checks on people nowadays.
It's true, actually. It's true.
You know, in fairness.
Okay, you don't follow them. You're right. You check online. It's your people. Don't people say that for anyone applying for a job? Will you be careful what you say, because the employer could just go online and find out everything about you anyway?
Correct and right. No, we might give the odd parish priest an odd ring as well, you know. But he mightn't be a mass score, you know.
And you remember the matchmaker in John B. Keane's Matchmaker? Dickie O'Connor, wasn't it? What a name.
That's right. Good man, Joe.
Gus, you'll keep going.
Oh, we'll keep going. We'll keep going there, because if you can see a man and a woman walking away there hand in hand, or smiling, having a bit of chat, a bit of crack, nothing as rewarding.
Absolutely. Nothing. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Money wouldn't come into that.
Good man. And then a lot of it, you can't say it, but there's a lot of money involved betimes in these dating agencies. There is. Well, they advertise they advertise their charges, I presume. So, but they're not free.
They're not free.
Okay.
No, they're not free. But
and you mentioned your own partner, Gus.
Yes, Olive, my own wife, yeah.
Olive, yeah. And how did you meet Olive?
Well, actually, her father was a matchmaker, and I met him in Ballinasloe Horse Fair in County Galway.
Okay.
She was down.
Yes.
They were buying a horse or two, and I was there selling a horse or two. I'm originally from Galway.
Yeah.
And living now in Trim County Meath.
Okay. And that's how you met? You met over a horse?
Well, yes. Well, a few horses.
Brilliant.
And a donkey thrown in as well there.
Brilliant. Okay.
But it's a fun type thing as well, you know. It's not all looking at each other. It's a bit of a laugh and a bit of a chat, and very
well
important.
Done. Well, Gus, long may you continue. Though I'm still thinking, you see, the other John B. Keane play, as you know, that features a matchmaker, is Scythe. And he puts poor Sive with the old farmer, and that's the beginning of the end, so to speak, without giving the story away. So, matchmakers can.
We try and match like with like.
I know you do. I know you do.
Interests, hobbies, whatnot.
And no one has ever looked for the money back, because no money ever changed hands.
Simple as that. If there's any problem, it's between the two of them, and no number is given out to any of any lady or any man until they give it themselves after their first few meetings. I won't say dates. First few meetings.
Okay. Well done, Gus. Well done. And by the way, the quintuplets that were born on Monday.
Yes.
What happens them now?
Well, what happens is there's three girls and two boys in it. Unfortunately, the two boys will have to leave us in 12 or 14 weeks' time.
Okay.
But the three girls will hopefully be mothers here someday, and they might carry on the business of 2, 3, 4, 5 lambs.
Okay.
But and we have a local fair here in County Meath every year. It's on the 12th of May this year.
Okay.
And Beans the Mammy and the 5 lambs will be there on show.
Oh, well done. The quins.
The quins.
The Olive and Gus's quins.
Yes. I'll be there for anyone to see. Okay. Which is one in a million. No, it's rare. It's a rarity, really, you know.
Okay, and I know, but I know sheep farming, especially this time of year with lambing, the lambing season was nearly over now, but the lambing season, it's a tough job. It really is. It's a tough well, job.
They're like babies, I'm saying. I didn't get up as much with my own kids as I do with the lambs because... But at 12 o'clock, you'll be feeding them, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, you know, it just comes natural. When you like what you're doing, it's not hard work.
Okay. And by the way, before you go, Gus, the mammy.
Yes?
How is she feeding 5 of them?
No, she's not. That's why I'm saying we have to intervene with bottles.
The bottles. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But the mammy is doing well, and they're taking odds up over now and again, and also they're being fed every 3 hours by bottles. And it's a lot of work. As I said, if you like it, it's not.
Okay. Well, John, that's the legendary Gus Martin.
Keep on the good show, George. Well, you could in the tractor. It's very good.
Very good. Thank you, Gus. And you're a great addition to the program, and I really appreciate your contribution. And keep farming, and well, it's hard work. Keep working, and to all farmers and their families. Gus Martin, go to Míle Maith, Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Helena Brown Thomas, you're not related to the owner. Well, it's owned by a Chinese company now, so you're not Thailand. Helena Brown wants to you come in praise of Brown Thomas.
I do indeed.
Speak freely, Helena.
Whereas I absolutely concur with that lady's, you know, idea that terms and conditions should be explained. No, I went into Brown Thomas with a friend of mine after the restrictions were lifted, you know, like probably 2 years almost, you know, of our lives.
After the COVID,
And after the whole COVID thing. And I went into town and I had what I can only describe as a panic attack because I had no idea. Never had one before and never had one, thankfully, since, okay?
Frightening.
My legs went from under me, everything. You know what I mean? It was just too much. And I'm a traveller. I'm, kind of a hardy annual. Mm. But anyway, I'm upstairs in Brown Thomas, and when she's trying on an outfit, I literally just, everything went. My legs went, my everything. So I'm sitting on steps in the upstairs kind of clothes area, and I just someone noticed me, thankfully.
Okay.
They came over, and they just went to the ends of the earth. Honestly, they couldn't have been kinder. And I was just shaking. My hands were shaking. Like, there was a girl literally went and got me water. I couldn't hold a glass. I couldn't hold a cup. And they, held the cup for me, gave me water. They brought out their medical person. You wouldn't even imagine. You know, I suppose behind the scenes, they do have a medical person in Brown Thomas.
Brilliant.
All their customers and their staff and whatever. And they couldn't possibly have been nicer and more careful and more understanding. And, you know, eventually, because my friend had driven into town, she was in the Molesworth car park or something, and I, wasn't going to be able to make it that far. They organised, ordered, and pulled up in Exchequer Street a taxi and paid for it to get me home.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And were they from a particular department in BT's, or were
upstairs in, there's a closed area where there's 2 or 3 steps up to another area there. No, I did phone the management afterwards.
Oh, well done.
Mayor Culper now at this stage, I don't remember the people's names, but I did know them at the time.
Well done.
I thanked them profusely because they could not possibly have been kinder.
And when did this happen?
As I say, just after the, things were eased up to the effect that one could go into town and go shopping.
I know staff are brilliant everywhere, but isn't it a great pity to see so many stores move out of the city centre? The city centre is just...
It's not a place. You just wouldn't go. It'd be anywhere near town. I saw a show recently with my son and my family up in Parnell Square.
Yeah.
And, my son was just, hailed a taxi for me. I would walk down O'Connell Street and, No.
Yeah.
And I've been, I literally last autumn was in Peru. I I was in Lima and Cusco and Arequipa and whatever, and I felt perfectly safe. I don't feel safe in one city.
Do you not know?
No, absolutely not.
And have you walked? Okay.
Yeah. And, no.
And have you walked down O'Connell Street recently, even with somebody?
No. Okay. Absolutely no. And my friend and I meet up on a Thursday night. We wait until two taxis come. You know what I mean? We'll hold down and then we'll wait for the second taxi. And we'll both, you know, she lives one side of the city, I live the other.
Okay.
In a million years. Walk down, because my buses all leave from, what do you call the quay there, not far from the Abbey
Well,
Theatre.
There's Aston Quay and Eden Quay.
Did you see them dealing drugs outside?
Yeah, I know, but we need people.
I know, the Abbey Theatre, literally.
I know.
Open-handedly handing over packages and cash. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'll give you a funny story, if you have a minute, about having a handbag stolen, because you were talking about
earlier on.
Years ago. Now, it was multitudinous years ago, because Conway's, when Conway's pub was open, up on Parnell Street. I had a handbag taken. And I had filled out an insurance form, okay, as one did in, you know, quill and ink back in the day. And it had my home address, my place of work, phone number, everything on it, okay? And it was in the handbag. It was that I was more worried about. But didn't they they phoned my mother, okay, whose phone landline I had put on the thing, and said if I wanted to meet them, I could get my handbag back. Obviously, I'd have to pay them. So I phoned the police.
Yeah, okay. You were being blackmailed.
Yeah, absolutely.
For your own bag.
My own handbag to get it.
The neck of them, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I phoned the police because I had reported the theft, which you never expect anything to happen. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, they'd even write it down. You know what I mean? But anyway, they said meet them. And where they wanted to meet were the flats around by the back of the ILAC Centre.
Oh, good luck.
Okay.
No, just that it's nothing to do with the flats of the Ollie, but the fact that they give you an exact address to go and meet them.
No, that's where to meet them. To meet them. Okay. So a friend of mine at work, her boyfriend had a...
And what happened? What happened? Did you go and meet them? No, you didn't, I hope.
I did know, because the cops said we'll be there.
And did they?
They did.
And did they get
you? And they were there.
And did they get your stuff back?
I got my bag back, but I binned it. I didn't want anything to do with the bag. Okay. I just wanted my insurance.
And did they catch the culprits?
Yeah, they got them.
Oh, my God. Well, that's good news. Yeah. That's good news. Okay. Okay, well done, Eileen. Well done. Okay. Yeah. You mentioned Conway's Pub, and it's a small ward. Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, if you're outside Conway's Pub there in opposite the Rotunda Parnell Street, there's a new hotel on the corner. It's called the Point Hotel. And Thomas Clark of the Seven Signatories of the Proclamation had a shop there. Well, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, the Lord Mayor of Dublin, Dáithí Ó Rois, he's doing a fantastic job. The Lord Mayor of Dublin is unveiling a plaque on the new Point A Hotel, because it's on the location of a pub where Michael Collins used to meet, and it's where near where the Rising actually finished. And it's to mark a poet called Dennis Devlin. He's passed, and Dennis Devlin was a very good poet. And that's happening at Conway's Pub tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in Dublin. Small world. Thanks, Anita.
There
Alina.
You go.
Good. Small world. Good to meet them all. Good. Joan Ruddy. Small world.
Gus said
what happened to him on Monday was one in a million.
Well, it's one in a million maybe, but it's two in a million now, and maybe three, because they're quintuplets. Lambs born on the Navan farm in Colquhoun, Louisbourg, County Mayo.
Yes.
Just over the Easter break, there are five lovely lambs, all doing well.
Okay.
And I also read of a similar park down in Belmullet, maybe someplace in Mayo. So Mayo has knocked it out of the park twice.
Well, thank God. Thank God Mayo will win something this year. So you're saying. But your sister's farm. There was Quinn's born, yes.
And Joe Navan in Colquhoun, Louisbourg, County Mayo.
Okay.
At quintuplets, and there's a similar birth, I think, in Belmullet around the same day. It's all over Easter, Joe. They're not mine.
That's interesting,
Yeah, so the one in a million, Gus needs to up his game maybe for six next time
out. No better man. Okay, John. Why did you give me your sister's full address?
Yeah, because I want to confirm where on the farm where they are. Exactly.
And what's her name again in Lewisburg?
Anne Naven and Joe Naven. They have a sheep farm and.
Okay.
They had the quintuplets and they had triplets yesterday and triplets every day.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Standard on the farm
now. They'd be run off their feet.
They are actually. That's why they hadn't time to call.
Okay. Brilliant.
All right,
brilliant, Joan. God bless you. God bless you.
Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making the call. Dennis Hessian from the UK. Back to where we started 75 minutes ago. Loch Derg. Tell us what happened. What happened in Loch Derg, Dennis? Quickly.
So, thank you very much. My wife went to in 1990 to Loch Derg from Carrickfergus, County Antrim, on pilgrimage with three or four of her lady friends.
Yeah.
And she had her credit card stolen while she was there.
On the island?
On the island.
On the penitential island?
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't resist telling you about it. Now, it wasn't some of the disasters that people have, but anyway.
So it can happen anywhere?
It can happen anywhere. It was used a couple of times in local shops on the same day or whatever, but we're very lucky.
Okay.
Very lucky.
Okay. Okay, Loch Derg, would you ever believe it, Dennis? I do believe you. Thanks indeed, Dennis. Dennis Hessian is in the UK. Hilary Jones produced, and Catherine Thomas is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Elevate your bedroom with our fresh new bedding designs and colours, in store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.